singing that song, I'm always reminded of a near split that we had at New Hope. We never had a split there or anything like that, but it was over that song. And you're saying, well, what could possibly be so, controversial about that song? Well, the problem was it amen or was it amen? And I know Pastor Friesen was adamant, it's amen, amen. And I'm, no, it's amen. And he said, no, it's not amen, that's Anglican. It's again, not Anglican, it's British, right? It's the English way of saying it. I'm an amen kind of guy when I sing that song, amen. Who's with me? Anybody with me on that? Amen. Most people. We're going to have a split this morning over amen or amen, but anyways, I just think it flows better too when you sing amen. So if you're going to give a good hearty amen this morning, help yourself, amen. Section number 10. And we're going to be looking at, again, one of the most important things, I think, in the Bible, and most important things when it comes to our Christian faith, is missions. And, we have always up until, this past year, we didn't have a missions conference because I kind of was thinking we were going to be building. I want to schedule one for next year. But hopefully if I do schedule one, that means we will build. Amen. That usually works like that. But, I like having a missions offering. I like having a missions conference. And I think it's important that as a church that we understand that it is part of our responsibility to support missions and to understand that it is a major part of the Bible. It is throughout the scriptures we find the missions of the church, the commission of the church, the purpose of the church. We are to send missionaries. If we don't reproduce, if we don't go out and start churches, go out into the uttermost parts of the world, go to the deepest, darkest parts of Africa and South America, and even parts of Canada. Canada is a missions field. Amen. There are less than 300 independent Baptist churches in Canada. And I know there are other churches that preach the gospel, but those, I think, are getting fewer and fewer all the time. Churches that at one time did preach the gospel, they're not preaching the gospel. Once supported missionaries, don't support missionaries. And, I just want to say, first of all, I praise God for the missionaries that we have and that we support in our church. Amen. We give thousands, tens of thousands of dollars every year to missions. And we've, for the most part, been able to take on missionaries every year. And that's a great testimony. And I believe that any church that gives to missions, any church that is mission-minded, will be blessed here in our own mission field. And I remember as well, when I first got saved, I wanted to have a little sign put over the door when I was leaving my house, and that little sign would say, "You are now entering a mission field." And really, the world is our mission field, amen? And that is our responsibility, not only to send missionaries, but as we go even into this world, out into our workplaces, if you work, going to the grocery store, wherever, to hand out a tract, to go door knocking, to go do this, do that, whatever God has called us to do. And we're to be missionaries. Number one in your book there, we only have 8 questions here, so it's not a lengthy, again, homework. So you, no excuse to not have your homework done. Amen. Amen. Something. We should be doing our homework, and this is good, important stuff. It shows that we have a desire and a hunger for the Word of God to learn. So number one there, it is the duty and privilege of every believer to be a what? A witness, okay? Let's turn to a couple of these scriptures, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And I know we do have to pray. We've got a lot of sick people. And I guess it's that time of the year. I didn't want to believe it when I heard the forecast that it was supposed to snow today. I think it was a week ago. It was 26 degrees. And Canada. Amen. I'm not going to mention, you know, how nice it would be to be down south right now in the nice warm weather, but it's okay. We're Canadians. We like it this way, right? We'll just convince ourselves of that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And look at this, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, this is an interesting verse here. We might call this, once again, the Great Commission here being reestablished amongst the disciples. The Bible says, "But ye," and "ye," of course, for most of us, I hope we understand when we read our King James Bible the importance of having the "these" and the "thous" and the "yees." What is "ye" when we look at our King James Bible? What does it indicate to us? What's that? Okay, well, "ye," anything with a "ye" means there's plural. In English, in our English today, we don't have second person plural. You have to say "y'all" or "yous." When we read "ye," we know that he's talking to all of them. He's not just talking to Peter. He's not just talking, if he was talking to one person, he would say "thee" or "thou." So I'm glad that we have these because we can understand, we can get a better idea of what the Bible's teaching us and what Christ is teaching us and who he's addressing, because who he's addressing is very important. The disciples were there and he told them all that they were going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and when that power was upon them, they were to be witnesses unto me. And again, look at this word "both." Now, it's interesting, both. We when we think of both, we think of what number do we normally think of? Two. But how many places does he mention here? Four. Right? He mentions four, and he doesn't leave any place out. And under the uttermost part of the earth. And he doesn't say parts of the earth. He said part of the earth. So, I mean, we're talking the Antarctic. There's nobody there but penguins. Well, preach the gospel unto every creature. Amen. I guarantee you'll have the biggest church in the continent. Amen. And he says we're to be both witnesses. Now, that word "both" is talking about the idea of at the same time here. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't be, a witness or the pastor in Wasaga Beach, and also, in Dublin, Ireland. I can't be, preaching the gospel in Wasaga Beach and also in Tel Aviv. Just like you can't be witnesses, both here and also, in Mexico. We can't do it both. But we can. Because when we support missionaries, when we give to missionaries, we are being witnesses. Listen, where's a place that we support a missionary? One that we support in the absolute uttermost part of the earth. Who's a missionary? China. Amen. We're talking, that's out there. That, you dig a hole straight down, you can go visit them. Amen. We support them. And you know what we are doing? We are being witnesses both here and in China. Where's another place that we support a mission? A missionary. Yes. Montreal. Amen. We. Where else? Kyle. Africa. South Africa. And I know our media over here is so unbiased. Aren't you glad? You know what I was going to do? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to get way off topic here. But this is good stuff. I can't be. This morning I was going to print out all of the news articles about all of the problems that we're having already with marijuana, but I needed like a dump truck to bring all of the articles here. I mean, I don't know if you heard the news, but there was one legal grow op that was busted into. They took all of the employees hostage, tied them up, and to steal everything . And then all the traffic tickets, 10,000 tickets given out in for people smoking pot while they're driving, and all, just the list can go on and on and on and on. And boy, welcome to reality, right? And things are only going to get worse. Now, I don't know why I said that, and I don't know where I was going, but, you know, when we think, that's where I was going, the media, our lovely media, you know, when we pray for missionaries as well, we've got to pray, because a lot of times, even in China, we don't hear the real news. Africa, how many people have been hearing about the genocide of white families in Africa? Is anybody, you've heard of it. Anybody else? There are black people that are killing white farmers by the droves over there. They're trying to wipe them out of the country where our missionary is. Do we ever hear about that on the media? No, you've got to dig. If you want to find it, you've got to dig. And, you know, like we're mentioning, Diane was reading about a woman over in Pakistan that's facing death because she drank out of a well. And she, because she's not Muslim, she's contaminated it in the vessel there, and they're livid, and they want to, there are thousands that are coming and protesting, want her to put to death. Do we hear that on the media? Whenever we're supposed to be tolerant towards Islam and all this, do you ever hear stuff like that? This is what Islam is all about. And they're bringing it over here. We don't hear stuff like that. We don't, the media actually suppresses it. So I'm saying that to say this. When we think about China, when we think about Africa, and, you know, so many other places in the world that these missionaries are going to, in many cases, they're facing hostility. We heard about what's going on in China in one of our recent letters, you know, about the problems they're having. They're starting to crack down, again, busting churches, and just all kinds of problems they're facing all the time. So, back to this point here about both being witnesses, both in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, that would be, and again, in context here, that would be our personal mission field here. That's like saying, you know what, you guys at Calvary Road Baptist Church, you're to be witnesses in your backyard. That's what you're to do. And then you're to be witnesses in Judea. That's the surrounding area. That's like maybe Montreal, or, you know, Canada's a big country. Remember my cousin from Scotland came over, and we drove for 2 hours to go here, and then we drove for 2 hours to go there, and then because, you know, you come from Scotland for the first time, you want to take them to Niagara Falls, and you want to take them here, and you want to take them there, and everything seems to be about 2 hour drive. And then remember one time, I think it was when we were driving to Niagara Falls, he says, travel seems to be nothing to you guys. And we're like, what are you talking about? Like, driving 2 hours, that's really not a huge. In Scotland, you drive 2 hours, you've seen the entire country. You know, we drive from one end side to the other, whatever. But, you know, when we think about the diversity of our country here, it's a rather large mission field. Amen. It's a large mission field. So we've got our Jerusalem, we've got our Judea, which again we would say is our neighboring or surrounding regions, and then he goes on to say. And in Samaria, and that's, again, getting out a little further. And then he finally says, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And, again, that's Africa, and that's China, and Europe, and all over. Wherever God has called missionaries to go, wherever he's called them to be, we are to go. And, you know, there's no place in this world that doesn't need missionaries. Amen? There's nowhere. Canada needs missionaries. Even the United States needs missionaries. I remember we heard that there was a pastor, a Canadian pastor, who left his church here in Canada because God called him to go to the Alabama or somewhere down the Bible Belt to start a church. And I kind of thought, well, that's almost backwards. But you know what? If God called you there, then go. Amen. You think they got lots down there, but, you know, God has called you, you go. You go to where God has called you. So he has called us, all of us, to be missionaries. And, of course, in Isaiah chapter 43, you know, Isaiah there volunteering, say, Lord, send me. You know, let me be that missionary. Let me go if it's me. Number two there, to whom should the gospel be proclaimed? To who shall the gospel be proclaimed? Everyone, all people, all of the world. So when we think about this for a minute, does that mean your neighbor, your coworker, your family members, the people in Africa, the people in China? We're to preach the gospel to all people. I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but there was a group of brethren in Tilsonburg. And these particular, they're the original stock brethren, very conservative. Their churches were more like compounds. They all had 10-foot tall privacy fences around them, locked and gated. No windows in their buildings. And their buildings were usually just looked like a big glorified shed, steel buildings. And they would go down. You'd see them in the streets of Tilsonburg. And they would stand there, usually a couple men. They would stand there on one of the corners. And the guy, one of the guys, they would take turns. They would just sit there and they would read the Bible. And that's all they would do. They would just stand there and they would read the Bible. So they would be doing this. And because of their Calvinistic leaning, that if Marcel was walking by, Marcel, I'm going to use you as an illustration. Just a quick illustration. You're convenient. I would get Lloyd, but he's... So, I'm preaching the gospel. No, you know, you're hanging on, you're getting ahead of yourself. Just come over here. And so, okay. For God so... Okay, now he's just walking by. Go ahead, now you can walk by. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him, and he just walks by and he thinks, what's wrong with this guy? And he keeps going. Now, we'll do it again. Now, according to them, this would be the worst thing in the world to do. Okay, now do it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That, what did I just do? I looked at him. So these brethren, thank you, Marcel. I know that was... They would not look at anyone. Because they believed, because of their Calvinistic leaning, that if they looked at somebody, you would be coercing them. And it's only the drawing of the Spirit. So they would stand there, and that's all they would do. I don't know how many converts they ever got. I don't know if anybody stopped and actually listened. I'm sure once in a while somebody would, and they might talk to them. But they believe that God will bring along one of the elect, and that's how they're going to reach them and how to find them. Now, when I read the Bible, and when I see how John and Peter and Paul and even the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think he was a pretty good soul winner, amen? And I think when we look at their examples, I can't see Jesus sitting on the corner, you know, of Jerusalem reading, you know, the Pentateuch. Can anybody see Jesus doing that? Or Peter or Paul? What did Peter do? What did Paul do? What did Paul talk about in Acts? He talked about going door to door. Amen? Going door to door. What did Jesus command them to do? To go door to door. To go to every house. Knock on the door. And even Jesus said, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next one. Amen? It's called confrontational soul winning. People don't like confrontational soul winning. And I'll raise my hand. I'll be the first one to say that I don't like confrontation. And what is it? What is confrontation? Again, sorry, here, Marcel. It's going up to somebody, looking them in the eye and saying, you're going to burn or turn. Turn or burn. We don't confront quite like that. But confrontational soul winning. You confront somebody. That's what we find in the Bible. Amen? It was confrontation, always confrontation. And again, just because you're confronting someone doesn't mean you need to argue with them. The Bible says that, again, if they don't receive you, you kick the dust off your feet and you move on to the next house. And, you know, this is part of missions and this is part of our commission and this is part of what God wants us to do. And we've got to understand that we are all part of this missionary program that God has laid out for us in the Bible. Not only are we to be missionaries here as God's people in our Jerusalem, but we are to be missionaries by supporting the gospel in all of the world. Number three there, What is the good news that we have? Let's turn to this scripture. And I will get somebody to read that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to say this. I know some people may get the dander, but you know what, ladies, if you want to read, it's not, the world is not going to come to an end, okay? And I usually don't, because sometimes ladies don't like to read, but it's, you know, and when the Bible says that ladies are to keep silent, it doesn't mean they can't read. So if you want to read, don't be afraid, all right? So I just split the church, so we'll just go from there. What scripture were we going to? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll get somebody to read verses 1 to 4. Okay, so what is the good news that we have according, and again, especially verses 3 and 4, what is the good news? The gospel. And according to that, what is the gospel? He died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I just got to throw this in as well. Do you notice there the Bible... Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of salvation. When I was searching, I had some people telling me I needed to be baptized. You've got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You've got to believe all that, but then we've got to baptize you. And this was the verse, these are the verses here that solidified in my heart that, you know what, no, I don't need to be baptized. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's by the gospel we're saved. And he clearly defines the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the death, it is the burial, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those are the things that are necessary for salvation. And that is the good news. That is what we are bringing to this world. Christ crucified. Christ died for our sins. And Christ rose again. To put anything else into the gospel is certainly adding to it. Number four there, our message to a lost and dying world is not Christ our teacher or Christ our example, but we preach Christ what? Crucified. Let's turn back a little bit there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Bible says, "For I am determined not to know anything amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Again, the gospel is the crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, this world doesn't need to know, all of the doctrines of the Bible. And again, just by way of testimony, when I was, let me clarify that. The world does need to know all the doctrines of the Bible. But when we're preaching the gospel to them, there are certain doctrines that they must believe. You know, but we've got to start at the cross, amen? When I was searching, when I determined, you know, that I wanted to find the truth of the Word of God, you know, I went out, bought myself a Bible. I went down to the library and got all kinds of books out from the library. I wanted to know everything there was to know about Christianity. I wanted to know about baptism. I wanted to know about missions. I wanted to know about this. I wanted to know about that. Because I believed that the more I knew and the more correct I was, about living the Bible way and serving the Bible way, the better, you know, chance that I would have to be in heaven. That's the way I figured it. I figured that's how I'm going to be. I wanted to know everything. And you know, I think that's good. We should want to know everything, amen? We should want to know the Bible. We should want to know the truths of the Word of God. But there was one thing that I was missing, you know, and I know when God brought a soul winner along in my life, that, you know, 7 years of searching, looking for the truth of the Word of God, God brought somebody along. And, you know, I was always wanting to argue about this and always wanted to talk about this and why that. And he kept saying, no, let's get back to Christ crucified. We've got to get this established. You know, never mind, you know, who the Antichrist is for now, okay? That can wait. We've got to establish your salvation. And Paul, that's what his goal and his desire was. And we'll see as we'll look in a few minutes about the entirety of the Great Commission. You know, we've got to, first of all, start with the gospel. The gospel of salvation. Number five there, true or false, every believer is an ambassador for Christ. True or false? True. So what does it mean to be an ambassador? A representative. Okay? An ambassador is somebody that's in a foreign country who is a representation and a likeness of their country. You know, our Canadian ambassadors, they are there to represent Canada. They are there to be Canadians and a Canadian voice and a Canadian outreach for maybe other Canadians that are in that country as well. That's what we're called to be. We are in a foreign country. We are here on a short period of time, and God says that while we're here, we're to be representatives of Christ. We're to be ambassadors. The next question, number six there, true or false. Many people will think that the gospel message is foolishness. Is that true or false? True. Why would people think that the gospel is foolish? There's several interesting answers to that question. What is one reason? What is a reason? Yes. Okay, sin in the world. Okay, yeah, they just because it maybe contradicts the world so much. What are some other reasons people might think it's foolishness? Okay, because of their own self-righteousness, it's just, why in the world would I need the gospel? Why do I need that? Because I've got it. I'm there. I've arrived. I'm going to heaven. I'm a good guy. Self-righteousness would make it seem foolish. What else? What are some other reasons that the world might think it's foolish? Exactly. Because it eliminates them. It pushes them aside and says that, hey, this is something that you can receive, but it's something you can't earn. And that makes it foolishness. It just seems ridiculous that we can't somehow in our own works make it to heaven. Anything else? Any other ideas of why it might be foolishness? Yes. Exactly. It's so simple. That is the most simple, common, ordinary, easy. You know what? That's ridiculous. It can't be that. It's foolish. That is too easy. You know, the God of creation and the God of the universe has, you know, when we think about how complex God is. You know, we think about the Trinity. You know, we can't even wrap our minds around the Trinity. We can't even wrap our minds around how God could be eternal, how God can make everything out of nothing, how God is, you know, He never gets tired. And we think about all that God is, and we think, man, it's really complex. It's really intense. It's really deep. But then we turn around, and we see this little simple gospel over here that, you know what, you're a sinner. Sin deserves punishment. That's simple, and I think honestly everybody understands that. You do wrong, you deserve punishment. That's simple. And that Jesus Christ said, you know what? I'm going to pay your penalty for you, and if you would accept my substitutionary death on the cross and you truly repent of your sin and understand that you're guilty before God and deserving of hell and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, make him Lord of your life, you're going to be saved. Oh man, that's just like, that's way too easy. Well, how could this complex God make something so easy? Well, unfortunately, we're not quite so complex. We're simple. Amen. I'm glad. I've got it was a former Roman Catholic that put this brochure together, and I can't remember the exact number. Don't quote me. It was 65 or 68 or something like that, errors of the Roman Catholic Church. And I think this person, I can't remember, was a nun or a priest or did ordained or whatever in that church for years. And on the back of this brochure, they have the Roman Catholic road to heaven. And you want to talk about a roadmap to get you lost? I'll guarantee you, try to find, follow that roadmap, you'll be more lost than when you started. You know, because they divide sins into venial sins and mortal sins, and then there are certain things that you have to do to absolve yourself of, venial sins, but mortal sins are more serious, and then you might have to give more money to the church or do more penance or do this or do that, but sometimes it doesn't work because I don't know if there's enough, fairy dust on it or something, but you got to do this, and then you got to go down that road, and then you've got these sacraments to do this. And by the time you're done, you're so confused. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that you could go to 10 Roman Catholic churches around our community here, drive around, go to as many as you can. If you were to go in there and ask them, you were to sit down at their desk and say, I want you to tell me how I can know for sure I'm going to go to heaven. I will guarantee you that every one of those 10 would tell you a different way. I'll guarantee it. The gospel is simple. And when we go and we present the gospel to people, they just can't accept it because it's simple. It's no self-righteousness or self-works involved. And it's contrary to the sin of this world. You know what? It's in our face. What do you mean I'm a sinner and deserving of hell? I look around. I don't even smoke pot. I don't drink alcohol. I don't do this. I don't go to the strip joints. I don't watch porn. I don't do this. I don't. And it's me. I don't. And I do. I've done so many good things. That's just silly to think that I would go to hell. So we find a world that believes that the gospel is foolish. Number 7 there, God wants us to have a what? An answer. An answer ready for every man. Let's again turn to that scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as... No, I'm in 2 Peter. Let's try 1 Peter. It didn't sound right. 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you, look at this, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. So here, we've got to put this in context here. Of course, Peter was writing to believers that were under heavy, intense persecution by Nero. And, when we think about the persecution, we talk about this lady that was going to be put to death and what's going on in Africa, and you look at other parts of the world where Christians are suffering. We don't understand in our country what real suffering is. But here, these people were suffering. But look at verse 14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You know what it means to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts? These individuals, these sufferers, were the persecutors were trying to drive the Lord Jesus Christ out of their hearts. They were trying to get them to recant the Lord Jesus Christ. They were trying to get them to stop living for Christ. And so now he's saying, Peter's saying, sanctify the Lord Christ in your heart. Keep him number one. Even though the world is trying to destroy him in your hearts. Keep him the number one thing. Serve God. And look at this. He says, be ready always to give an answer of why, you know, somebody walks up to you and pulls out a .45 caliber gun and puts it to your head and says, I want you to recant and recant of your faith in Jesus Christ and you can walk out of here. And the person with a smile on their face says, you know what? I'm not going to do that. But let me tell you why. What an opportunity to witness to somebody. Amen. You're saying, well, Pastor, I don't think anybody's ever going to take a .45 and hold it in my head. Well, it's happening today. Maybe not exactly like that, but it's happening today in this world. It's happening. It happened yesterday. It happened in Peter's day. These Christians were being murdered in droves because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They obviously weren't holding guns to their heads, but they were throwing them to the lions. They were burning them. They were doing all kinds of things to them. And because they can't drive Christ out of your heart, he says to them, just be prepared. Because somebody's going to look at you and say, man, whatever you have, I want to know about it. Oh, let me tell you, I've got an answer. You know, again, we don't face that here in our country. But you know what? People are going to do the same thing. People are going to attack your Christianity. And you just say, listen, I've got an answer for it. Why you can't wipe the smile off my face. Why I love the Lord. Why I, even despite all of the problems that are coming because of the persecution or because of whatever it may be, you know what? Despite all of the things, I am still a Christian. I'm still in love with my Lord. And this is why. Be prepared to have that answer. And that's, in other words, we are to be prepared to be witnesses all the time. Number 8, true or false, when a person has been saved and baptized. And I want us to turn to this scripture, 28, Matthew chapter 28. When a person has been saved and baptized, then we have done our job and we have finished our task. Is that true or is that false? False. And, you know, again, this is had been a controversial thing, you know, just preach the gospel, get him saved, and don't worry about it. As long as you've got him saved, that's the important thing. Well, no. And even, as I mentioned, people think, well, once you're saved, that's all, you know, that matters. Obedience doesn't matter. Well, the Bible says here that we're to teach obedience to God. Well, if you teach it, that's legalism. Well, being obedient to God isn't legalism. It's commanded. Amen? The Bible says here in Acts chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now that teach all nations is the gospel. That, remember, like I was saying earlier, that is the Christ crucified. That is teaching them the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel of salvation. So teach them. Preach the gospel to all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. And then look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Now what are those things that we are to teach? What are some things that we're to teach? How to live. Certain things about our life. I thought you had a hand up there. How about even the ordinances? Teach them about baptism. Teach them about the Lord's Supper. Teach them about Christ's will for their life, God's will for their life. Teach them what pleases God, what doesn't please God, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I know Dake's Bible, he had a lot of time. I don't know if he actually read it, read them all and found them all himself, but I know he lists 1,050 commands, not just beseechments or suggestions or exhortations, but he's listed 1,050 commands in the New Testament for Christians. You go, man, I'm having trouble with 10. It's a lot of commands. But we are to learn obedience. That is part of our Christian life, part of our responsibility. Hey, listen, you know what? You should be in church. That's one of God's commands. You join up with a good, independent, Bible-believing church. Get involved and get busy serving God in that church. That's God's will. That's part of the obedience and observing all things whatsoever I've commanded thee. So missions, or establishing local churches, is God's movement among men and women and boys and girls to bring them to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and to unite the believers together according to God's Word, to be a local church in the area where they live. And again, this is all, you know, I shouldn't say all, there's a lot more, but that's missions. That's biblical missions. It starts here and reaches to the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together. And I pray that you would help each one of us to be missionaries, first and foremost, where we live. And God, we thank you that we are able to preach the gospel, maybe not in person, but by supporting missionaries. We can be both witnesses here in our own place of residence, but also in the uttermost part of this world. And our missionaries face things, Lord, that we can't really even fathom in our country. And God, I just pray that the Spirit of God would be with our missionaries and with us to have and continue to have that heart for missions. And we'll thank you, we'll praise you for your grace and goodness. We pray as we go into morning service, you would bless in Jesus' name, and amen.